Proverbs 15. Let me move this over here. We've been, last few months, we've been talking about our walk with the Lord. And so I'm going to continue that, but it's more, tonight I'm going to start into like a more topical with hindrances. So I'm going to preach a topical message tonight on hindrances and talk about, you know, what the Bible talks about, hindrances. And I'm going to focus tonight on our prayer life. Hindrances about our prayer life, things that could hinder our prayer life. So I'm going to go through the scriptures and see what that says. But let me ask the Lord to help me here, and then we'll get into this. Lord, I surely thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us, and Lord, the opportunity to be able to preach and teach your word. I surely need your help, and I do ask that you would help me. Help me with any illustration, example that would help. I pray that the teaching would get across, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to search our heart. And Lord, if there's things in our life, Lord, that we need to make right with you, I pray that we would. And I pray, Father, that you would just bless as only you can this evening. And we ask these things, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. So I'm going to talk about hindrances in our lives. So you think about it, it's a wonderful blessing. You think about it as a Christian. We have access to the throne room of God. I can go to God at any time. Amen. There's times where I may get a text message. I tell people if it's an emergency, you know, you want me to pray, you call me, text me, and I'll pray. And it doesn't matter what time it is, if it's 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, whatever it is, if it's an emergency, I will pray for you. I'll pray for your situation. Now, if you stub your toe, don't call me at 2 or 3 in the morning. Because if you stub your toe and call me 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'll still pray for you, but I'll pray that God stubs your other toe. I'm just joking, so, but I wouldn't do that. But anyway, the reality is we have a wonderful blessing. We can go to the Lord to bring our request, bring anything to our Lord. Amen? There's times it's the small things, and sometimes it's the big things. My sister recently was telling me, I think it was a few months back. My memory is not as good as it used to be. That there was this. She was watching my great niece, I think it was, and while she was watching her great niece, they lost something, and my sister said that let's pray for it, right? And her and her neighbor that were there, they prayed that God would help them to find something, and when they opened up their eyes, it was right there. And that little girl, I think she's 4 or 5 years old, something like that. Unfortunately, my niece is not a Christian, and so obviously she's not raising my great niece for the Lord. But that was probably the first time my great niece has probably ever heard that, you know. And I forget all the things with it, but I think she looked up in heaven. She said, "Thank you," you know. That was there. But anyway, from the smallest little things to the largest things. I remember there was a time in my life when I was at a church down in southern Pennsylvania. There was a gentleman there. His name was Richard Ewing. And my pastor was actually away, so it was one of the deacons that was at that church. And I get a phone call, and it's from my pastor telling me that Mr. Ewing was in the hospital. He's not doing well, and they don't know if he's going to make it. He's like, "I am out of town. I can't get there. Can you go?" And I always enjoyed when my pastor was there because I would pray for him. But now I'm going to be there of try to try to help someone. And I remember we went there to see Mr. Ewing. And as we were there, I remember seeing the nurse that was there. And he wasn't doing well. Matter of fact, they said that he was going to die. I remember I went into the room with his wife. And we were praying. Others were praying that were there. Thank the Lord, the pastor made it back in time. Wherever he was, he must have been going really fast. I don't know. But anyway, he came back, and I was happy to get up from the seat instead of sitting there trying to talk to her. A nurse came in, and nurse came into time and said, "Ma'am, we need to know your answer. What you want?" And what she was asking for is to pull the plug.
She literally was asking that, and
I can't remember all the details, but Pastor Music said something like, you know, can't you see? Just give her some time and let her, you know, we're praying about this and everything. And so anyway, she was not the nice, she missed her calling. Because it surely wasn't nursing. I mean, I don't know what it was, but she wasn't. But anyway, I remember we were praying, and next thing you know, I remember that nurse was there, and she wasn't nice and everything. And another nurse came in. So she must have been the head nurse. Another nurse came in and said, is Mrs. Ewing here? There's a reason I'm telling you this story. Is Mrs. Ewing here? And the head nurse looks at it was a gentleman that was a nurse and looked at, and said, can't you see I'm dealing with this lady? And he said, but ma'am, he woke up. Do you know that head nurse, I think she was a head nurse, said, it won't last. Can I tell you, we prayed for Mr. Ewing. Mr. Ewing woke up. He was back to his old self. They wheelchaired him out, and he lived. Amen. Folks, what I'm saying is this. The power of prayer, God can hear and answer prayer. Sometimes it's God's will to heal people. Amen. Sometimes it's God's will to call people home. Amen. But it's a wonderful blessing to be able to pray. But we also have to realize if we're going to pray, we need to make sure we confess our sins. Amen. And make sure we're right with the Lord when we go to Him. But there can be hindrances in your life, in my life, that could hinder our prayer life. I want you to see the first one here in Proverbs 13. In Proverbs 13, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. I want you to think of the first one as this. If you're not saved, if you're not saved. See, the Bible tells us the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. If you're not born again, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's not been a day in your life where you saw yourself as a wicked old sinner and there's nothing you could do to save yourself. And then you realize what the Bible says about our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is true, that He is the God of heaven, the God, the Son, that left heaven, came down, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and went to the cross to be your substitute, to pay your sin debt on Calvary. He died for you, was buried, and rose again. And that day that you see yourself as a wicked old sinner and you by faith accept Him as your Savior, He will save you. But if you don't accept the Lord as your personal Savior, the truth of the matter is this, you are lost. You are not a child of God. I get tired of a lot of people that will say that we're all going to heaven. Brother Mike, you know what sometimes I tell them? You are going to go once. But that's after you leave hell. You're going to go before an almighty God to stand before Him and ultimately be cast in the lake of fire. But you're not staying. Amen? And the reality is this. It's either you accept Christ as your Savior or you're not. Amen? You're either born again or you're not. Amen? And it's quite simple. So anyway, your prayers could be hindered because you're not saved. Amen? Let me ask you tonight, are you saved? Are you truly born again? Is there a time in your life you can go back to where you know you saw yourself as a wicked sinner and you know that you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you accept Him as your Savior? If not, can I tell you, you can pray and pray and pray, and the reality is your prayers aren't going to get through. You're lost. You're a child of the devil. But you can be a child of the King if you accept the Lord as your Savior. So if you think about it, there could be hindrances to your prayer life. Do you know Him? Amen? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? Now, I know most people call it the Lord's Prayer. I always look at it as disciples' prayer because the Lord, disciples asked the Lord, He says, they said, teach us to pray, right? So He was showing them how to pray. I know what people mean by the Lord's Prayer. But it says, our Father, which art in heaven. That means there's a relationship. When that day that I got saved, I realized, because I was a very religious man, I realized that all those prayers I have ever done in my life, and I prayed a lot, didn't do anything. And I realized I needed that personal relationship.
And I remember I was traveling home. I worked at Citibank. I was traveling home after listening to this cassette tape from evangelist Hal Webb when I was at break. And I listened to that, got in a couple minutes into the cassette tape, and I felt convicted. The Holy Spirit convicted me because I was a wicked old sinner. And I remember telling my boss I had to go home. I told her she was a Christian. She looked at me and she smiled a little bit. I said, "I'm lost. I need to get home. I need to talk to someone. I need to get saved." Amen. And she's like, "Oh, amen." She should have just led me to the Lord, I guess. Amen. But anyway, I remember I was sitting in my car as I was driving home, and the reality hit me: if I wreck and die, I'm going to hell. I was under conviction. And as I was driving, I think I was probably the only time, John, I have ever had two hands on the wheel other than when I got the driver's test. And I had both hands there. I was like, you know. And I remember just looking up and just saying, "God, please allow me to get home." You know? See, I couldn't pray and say, "Heavenly Father," because He wasn't. And I remember when I got home, I called someone and ultimately accepted the Lord as my Savior. And when I go to prayer now, I go to Him, "Father," amen, because He's my Heavenly Father, amen. So if you're having hindrances to your prayer life, make sure that you're born again, amen. Because if you're not born again, the truth of the matter is this, your prayers will not get through. I want you to think of the second thing. Look over here to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Psalm 66. So a hindrance to your prayer life is if you're not born again. Amen. Psalm 66. Look here at verse 18. Psalm 66, verse 18, the Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So you think about the second thing would be iniquity. You think about sin. Now, He's not talking about your relationship is broken. No, no, no. A relationship is He's still my Heavenly Father, but it's my fellowship that would be broken. And here it is, He's talking about, if I regard iniquity in my heart, there's sin in my life, there's things I know that I need to take care of, but I'm not. My prayers could be hindered, right? What I need to do is confess it and say, "Lord, I'm sorry." Don't do presumptuous sins. Oh, I'm telling you, sometimes it gets under my skin. Presumption sin is, you know it's wrong, and you're going to do it anyway and say, "Oh, I'm just going to ask the Lord to forgive me." That's presumptuous sin. That's bad, amen? And the reality is this, we need to come to the Lord, confess it, and forsake it. Amen? Ask the Lord to help you, whatever it is. But let me ask you, is there iniquity, or you regard iniquity in my heart? Is there something there that you know that you need to take care of, and you just won't do it? Well, if that's the case, don't be surprised your prayers aren't getting through. Again, it didn't stop your relationship. You're still a child of God. But your fellowship with the Lord will be hindered. Now, you can go through the scripture, and I'm sure you could see people that have prayers that would be hindered. Remember King Saul, you know, he asked the Lord, inquired of the Lord. Lord didn't answer him, right? There's sin you need to take care of. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, it is so wise every single day when you're going to the Lord in prayer, go before Him and say, "Lord, forgive me." Amen. If there's something you've done, forgive Him. Don't wait to the morning. Don't wait to the evening. Pray then. Amen. Take care of it then. You know, you don't have time. Amen. If you're driving down the road, you don't have enough time to say, "Lord, forgive me," right? If something happens. What was it, Ariana? I don't know how many years ago. We were leaving church. Were we leaving church? Gas station, but it was right here in New York. So we were here leaving, and as we were leaving the gas station that's right up here in the corner, I think I was looking down at something. I can't remember what I was doing, looking down at something or whatever. And that's what it is. That's why I put some hand sanitizer on my hand. See, my wife has trained me. Before, I just do the gas thing. And then that time, I guess she's trained me. Amen. And put some hand sanitizer on. But I was still on the road, dear. So it's all right. But anyway, I didn't go forward. And next thing I know, the car in front of me took off. The light was green. I started to go, and praise the Lord, for whatever reason, there was that little delay or whatever, because a big old truck flew right by. Voof! You know, can I tell you, you don't have time to say, Lord, you know, that's about all you can get out. Amen. God spared us. Amen. Folks, what I'm saying is this. Make sure that you're right with the Lord. Amen. One time, my wife and I were traveling down to, I guess, Harrisburg. I think it was Harrisburg. And as we were traveling down to Harrisburg, we had to travel once a month down to Hagerstown for a long time. But anyway, as we were traveling down there, as we're going from, it goes from 65 down to 55 when you get close to Harrisburg on 81. I saw the guy that was in front of me, and I was thinking, oh no, this doesn't look good. And I was just like, Lord, help! And next thing you know, this guy realized that the speed changed, slammed on his brakes. You remember this? Spun around, came back and went right over to the ditch. Amen. Folks, what I'm saying is this. Thank God, amen, that you can go to him and pray. Amen. And it wasn't my fault, right? I didn't do it. I'm just joking. But anyway, yeah. All I'm saying is you can pray, amen, and ask the Lord to help you. But anyway, if you regard iniquity in my heart, amen. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of John. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. So we see you're not saved. Iniquity, right? Sin. Now, some of those, you think of iniquity, you could probably add to all these because of it would be sin. Look here what the Bible says in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Don't be surprised when God purged things in our lives. Amen. Sometimes he may take some branches away that makes us more fruitful. Those branches could be, I don't know, it could be separation from different people. God does all kinds of stuff. Amen. Now ye are clean through the word, verse 3, which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He abideth in me, and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and withereth. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Right? So again, prayer is always for thy will be done. We'll be talking about that. But let me ask you, not abiding in Christ. What I mean by not abiding in Christ is you're not in fellowship with the Lord. Right? Not abiding in Christ. Are you spending time every day allowing God to speak to your heart through His Word? You know, sometimes, this is hard to imagine, but there's people that don't pick up their Bible until it's church day. You know what's surprising me? We're living a day, even in church time, where they won't even bring a Bible. Amen? And if you don't have a Bible, let me know. We have one up there. You can have it for free. Amen? It's good old King James. Amen? But anyway, are you spending time in His Word? Do you come to church? Are you faithful? Amen? Are you spending time in prayer? Amen? Are you trying to live for the Lord? So you have to ask yourself, are you abiding in Him? Amen? In that fellowship with the Lord. Look what the Bible says over here to Proverbs chapter 28.
Proverbs chapter 28. You have to bear with me. My contexts are a little blurry, so hopefully I don't read a word wrong. It's not intentional, I promise you. In Proverbs 28, look here at verse 9. Proverbs 28, in verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination, right? So let me ask you, are you disobedient to God's word? Amen. Disobedient to the word of God. You know what God wants you to do. You don't do it. Amen. Are you disobedient? When I was growing up, I'm not proud of this, but when I was, I don't know, probably about 11, 12 years old, I was just, I wasn't a good kid. And I wasn't saved. But I wasn't obedient. I wasn't. And I surely regret that. I know the Lord has forgiven me, and my parents had forgiven me because I asked them about that. But I wasn't obedient. And as I turned into a teenager, it was the same way. I wasn't obedient. And the reality is, my parents still love me. But can I tell you, there's things that they wanted to do they didn't do. Amen? Well, let me ask you, are we disobedient to God's word? Amen? Do you know what God wants you to do? And you're like, not going to do it. Amen? I mean, the reality is this. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Again, he's not talking about your relationship, but your fellowship. Your fellowship with the Lord. Amen? Don't be disobedient to God. Amen? Look what the Bible says over here to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 14. Look at the Bible says here, starting at verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and have put a stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Let me ask you, how about idols in the heart? Idols in the heart. Now, a lot of times when we think about idols, right, people may think of that Buddha or whatever, that statue that's there, or they think about maybe the Catholic Church and their different things that they have. But you know, an idol could be anything that you put before the Lord. You know, an idol can be your family. You know, there's people that put their family before God. Shouldn't do that, amen? You know, there's people that have an idol as a job. I know people that will work and work and work. They have no time for God. They have no time for family, you know. And they may be wealthy, but the reality is this. You know, what is it going to profit them when they die? Amen? They're having problems with their marriage. Their kids don't know them, you know. But people can have idols as their jobs. People can have idols as sports. Do you think about this? In our society, the millions upon millions and billions of dollars that are spent on sports. It is so hard to try to get people to come to church. I'm sure if we ask Pastor Mike, it would probably be the same thing. It's probably hard to get people to go to church. But you're close to what, Binghamton?
We are in Binghamton.
Binghamton, right? But I guarantee you, if there's it has to be some sport things down there in Binghamton, right? And I guarantee you, their sports complex are probably filled. You know, it could be cold. Sometimes it baffles me. The Buffalo, was it Buffalo Bills? Buffalo Bills. And the Buffalo Bills, I mean, they had that snowstorm that had all that snow. And people still went to the game, you know. They were willing to shovel, you know, to get there, you know. I don't know if it was in Buffalo, it was like minus something. Was it Buffalo or another place? It was like minus 20, minus 30. And people went out there to watch the football game. I mean, it was freezing. I remember the first time I moved up to Ogdensburg from Hagerstown, Maryland. And my wife would tell me about this place in Ogdensburg. And I came up here. This is where God called me to start the church up here. And never heard of it. And she would tell me how cold it would get up here. Mm-hmm. And the snow that was up here. And I was just like, well, that's pretty interesting, you know. And I was like, and I couldn't wait. So I remember, I think it was our first year we were here. It never got above freezing when it hit December 1st. And I remember, what was it? It was like April or something by the time it finally got away from, you know, over freezing. So it was like 32 and below, or surely below. But I remember one time, must have been January, February. I think it was our first year here. My wife thought I was crazy. She's half right, John. And it was minus 20 something outside. Where I grew up, it hit zero. That was like, whoa, this is minus 20 something. Well, I didn't know. My wife was like, wow, look how cold it is. And that's what I did. I went outside. I said, I got to experience this. I went outside, breathed a little bit, said, this hurts. What am I doing? Get inside, dummy. Amen. But can you imagine? One time, Ariana and I, when she was younger, we went outside and it was like that. And I got a thing of boiling water. Remember that? Yeah. Vaguely remember? Boiling water. Went outside when it was like minus 20-something. Took that water to throw it up in the air and just turned into, what is it, like snow, crystal, whatever. I mean, pretty neat, right? But I tell you, that wasn't on church. Amen. The reality is this. There's people that will say, I can't go to church. I can't go to church. Oh, my back's hurting. My back's hurting. Preacher, I woke up in the morning and maybe they'll say that. It's cold outside. Preacher, I have to make sure I get something to eat every so many hours. Hey, Johnny. You want to go to the football game? Yeah, let's go! And they were out there where it was minus 20 or 30-some degrees. Can I tell you? That's an idol. When you put something like that before God, amen, that's an idol. Amen? I'm not against sports. I like baseball. My team is... they stink, amen. They're pretty bad, but it's all right, amen. But I'm not going to miss church over them, amen. But anyway, what I'm saying is you can have an idol. Do you have anything that you would put before God? I hope not, amen. Don't ever do that. And here it is. He talks about idols. Look over here to the book of James, James chapter 4. In James chapter 4. On demand, there you go. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. So we're talking about idols in your heart. In James chapter 4, what it says here, starting at verse 1. It says, from hence come wars and fightings among you. Come they not hence, even of your lust, at war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Another hindrance could be a selfish purpose, a selfish prayer. You're praying something, and it's your will. It's not God's will, but it's a selfish purpose, selfish reason. You know, here it is, maybe you need a car, and you're praying for a car, and you're asking the Lord and say, Lord, I would like a Lamborghini. That's what I'm going to pray for, you know. And that would be dumb to have up here, amen, a Lamborghini up here. And that was just the car when I was growing up. I was a little kid that everyone would think, oh, it was pretty neat to have a Lamborghini. I don't want a Lamborghini, amen. I'm thankful for the van I got. I can pick people up to church. Imagine having a Lamborghini. How am I going to pick all I guess, Joe, you'll be up on top of the roof or whatever, amen. And so we can't pick people up. But anyway, a selfish purpose when you're praying. A selfish purpose. So ask yourself when you're praying, is it for these selfish things, right? God, I need $5 million so that way I could buy a nice house or whatever. Whatever it is, amen? And so anyway, a selfish purpose. It's your will, not His will. So if you're praying something, it's a selfish purpose. Don't be surprised that your prayers are not getting through. Look at here what the Bible says over here to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 26, Mark 11, verse 25 and 26. And when you stand praying, forgive. And if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Let me ask you, is there someone that you need to forgive, but you're not willing to forgive? You know, the Bible says that we can grieve God. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that we can grieve God. Be willing to forgive people. You know, is there someone that has done something against you? And you're like, I'm not going to forgive them. I have talked to people. And there's people I have talked to who would be like, I'm not going to forgive them. I just can't do that. And I said, well, has Jesus forgiven you? Well, yes. Are you thankful Jesus forgave you? Yes. Well, you're supposed to forgive them as Jesus has forgiven you. You did things wrong against Him, and He still forgave you. Well, there's some people out there, and it, as we talked about before, it turns into a root of bitterness, and you can come up to be bitter. But be willing to forgive. Are you willing to forgive people of what they have done? Maybe they have said something about you, done things. I've been here almost 16 years. I think over 16 years. In that 16 years, can I tell you, there's been times I have been lied about, times people said slandered me. And I'm telling you, sometimes I felt like getting down on my knees and just saying, give it to God, you know, as in give them to God. Like, and God will work on my heart and say, don't you do that. And then I have to say, Lord, forgive me. You know, forgive me of that. And then I have to say, Lord, I forgive them. Help me to love them. Help me to show love and kindness to them. You know? But the reality is we should be willing to forgive. Is there someone that you're not willing to forgive? Look what the Bible says over here to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, look down here, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. For those who are married. If you're not married, and maybe one day we'll be married, look, remember this verse. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Look at this. That your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. Let me ask you, do you have a strange, like a relationship with you and your wife or husband? There's problem, tension that's there? You know?
Well, it's going to hinder your prayer life.
My wife and I, one of the things I've always said is, you know, when we go to sleep, make sure everything's okay, you know? And sometimes I'll be like, Debbie, is everything okay? You know, I want to make sure, right? You know, it could be, it doesn't matter what time. I want to make sure. You know why? Because I love my wife. And I love God. And I don't want anything to hinder my prayers to Him. So I'll be like, dear, is everything okay? And a lot of times, you know, I'll have to do, Chris, just make sure she understands I'm right. You know, so that she gets it. You know, I'm just teasing her. Amen. Right? You know I'm right. Right? There you go. Amen. So praise the Lord for her. Amen. I guess I'm buying some chocolate this week. Amen. So I'm teasing. But anyway, if you and your wife, you or your spouse are having problems, you know, there's tension that's there. Can I tell you the best thing to do is you go humble yourself, right? Talk, right? In a relationship, you need to talk. You need to communicate. But if there's problems, there's a strained relationship can hinder your prayer life. Look at the Bible says over here to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1. So make sure if you're married when you go to bed, make sure everything's right. Amen? And because I don't want my prayers to be hindered. And I'm sure you don't want your prayers to be hindered.
And it could be the last time you're going to bed.
It could be. That's for sure. Yeah. So we. Yeah. Well, that's for sure. Look here in James chapter 1, down here verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and abradeth not, it shall be given him. What a wonderful blessing and promise God has given us, that we can go to him, and you lack wisdom, he'll give it. And let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How about when you go to prayer, do you ever go in unbelief? Not believing, right? Unstable, right? Remember that old saying, you know, that's there. She loves me not, she loves me, loves me not, or whatever that's it, you know? If that's how you feel like your relationship, you're in trouble. Amen. There should be that security. But anyway, when you go to God in prayer, it should be you believe. Amen. I believe when I pray that God can hear and answer my prayers. He gives us a promise. Now, I pray for His will to be done, not my will to be done. But I believe God can hear and answer. I do. When I pray, I believe God will hear my prayers. I don't have doubts with that. There's none. Amen? Now, sometimes God says, wait. Sometimes it's not God's will. God may say no. But I trust in the Lord. But do you go to God and you don't believe it? You don't trust? Well, why are you praying? Amen? You need to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you. You know? You know what doubt is? Sin. A lot of times you don't think about it, but doubting is sin. That's why if you're truly born again, the devil tries to get you to doubt. And why he wants you to doubt? Because it's sin. It could hinder your fellowship. Here it is, unbelief. An unbelief could hinder your prayer life. There's one other one. Go over here to Proverbs 21. I'm almost done. Proverbs 21. In Proverbs 21. In Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. In Proverbs 21. Look here at verse 13. In Proverbs 21, verse 13. Whosoever stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. No, I'm not talking about, you have to watch. There's people out there who will take advantage of you. In 2 Thessalonians, it talks about, I had it in my brain. Sometimes I don't want to misquote it. Let me go there. I'll read the last part of it. That if any would not work, neither should he eat. That would be a good principle. And I'm thankful they're trying to put some policies out there telling people to work, you know. But anyway, where was I? Verse 13. Whosoever stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Right? If be willing to help people. Amen? Do you ever think about this? You have the opportunity to give the greatest need in the whole world. You have something that can cure the disease. Well, it's not disease, but sin. And that's sharing Jesus Christ with others. Why wouldn't you want to share how to be born again, right? If God deals on your heart and you have an opportunity to help people, I don't like giving people money. I don't. You don't know how people use it. But if someone needs food, I try my best to help people out if they need food, you know. There are people out there who take advantage of you. But be willing to help people, you know. People should see things different in their lives. Now, I can tell you some stories. One time my dad, he was driving. I think he just got off an exit at Greencastle, Pennsylvania. And when he got off, there was a guy holding a sign. Said, "We'll work for food." My dad, he was a lot different age than we are today, but he rolled down his window. That tells you what age it was, rolling down the window. Some of you would be like, "What is that?" Right? He rolled down the window. He yelled at the man over there and said, "Get in the car." He said, "There's an Arby's over here." He said, "I'll take you over there and feed you." And that man looked at him and said, "Get out of here." He didn't want to be fed. He wanted money, right? There's people like that. And but can I tell you, there's people that need help. Amen. If God puts it in your heart, you're able to help people. Amen. Help people. There's been times. Remember, I'm not doing this to brag. Remember that lady? We went to Hagerstown, Maryland at a Walmart. And it was a lady that God dealt on my heart. Her husband went overseas in the military. And she was short of her rent. And God put on my heart to help her out. You remember meeting her? Remember in Hagerstown that came up? And that lady gave a testimony in front of the other people that were there, and her daughter that was there was talking about the Lord. Why? Because she knew that I was a Christian. I was trying to share the gospel with her, and I did. I used it as an opportunity to share the gospel. Folks, what I'm saying is, don't be greedy. Amen. I mean, we're here for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't want to be a hindrance. Amen? Amen. I want to be a blessing. I want people to see my life, not bring glory to me, but bring glory to Him. Amen? Amen. I want people to be saved. Amen? That should be our desire, should be your desire. Amen? But you can have things that could hinder your prayer life. Now, you can go through and there's tons of other stuff, but mainly it comes down to sin. Amen? Sin will hinder it. If your prayers are not getting through, maybe what you need to do is make sure that you're saved. And number two, go to the Lord and say, "Lord, is there something I have done? Lord, forgive me." Right? The best thing to do is because you want your prayers to get through. Amen? Now, if God says no, it's okay. It's thy will be done. Amen? But at least you know God will hear and answer your prayer. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach tonight. I pray that we're able to learn from that. And I pray, Lord, that we look in our heart, especially when we take time to pray. Make sure, Lord, that there's no hindrances, no sin that's going to hinder our prayers. I pray, Father, that you would help us to live for you, to be an example we should be. Help us to be a witness that we should be. And Lord, if you tarry, I pray for this upcoming Sunday that we'd see some visitors that would come. And Lord, that you would do a great work. We ask these things in Jesus, your precious name. Amen.